Hi, thanks for downloading this. My name's Alex Boardman. I'm a stand-up comedian. I have been for 20 years, and I run the New Comedians Night at the Comedy Store Manchester. On the podcast, we're going to be speaking to all of the acts on the stage tonight at the New Comedians Show. Okay, let's get on with the show. What a dick.
Hold on. I never told you we'd started.
Have we started?
Yeah, we've started.
Okay. In between shows, Masara just bobs in.
Ah, just down to the Comedy Store.
Yeah, Saturday night. Hey, just opened the early show. It was great.
Yeah, because... by the way, this is one thing I've been meaning to ask you. Because our listeners, our lovely listeners, hello listeners, there's been no show this month because...
John Bishop did a special...
Yeah, a comic relief
special that also, I believe, was used as a bit of a... I think I was told that the bookers from Live at the Comedy Store, maybe, and Live at something else, were here.
Right.
So when you look at the bill and you go, wow, they're all young, really good acts. And some of them are quite new.
Mm.
And I was like, that's a strange bill for a... You know, and John was comparing, because you'd think, why is he not on at the end?
Yeah.
So I believe that's what's happening. A couple of the acts that were on were telling me.
That's good, because Lauren Pattinson was on, and she's great.
Yes, it was her that was telling me, I think, one night. She's really
good. We should get her on the actual New Comedian. So basically,
she's been on it. She's done it. I had her 2 years ago, mate.
Yeah, 2 years ago, not when we were doing a fucking podcast.
I saw her in Newcastle. She did the open spot at the Stand, and she was about 17, I think. And I was like, oh, do you want to...
I bet you inappropriately glared at her.
Do you want to come? No, I didn't. She was like a kid. She's like a kid. But I was like, come on, come down if you want. And she did it, and she was really good.
Mm.
But so, like, young.
Yeah. I mean, stop going on about it. you and your dad's shoes.
Wait till you listen back. It's you that turned that straight away.
I've got shoes on
yeah, just for a change.
I may have turned it vocally, but the glint in your eye turned it in the room.
Well, I need to talk about my eye, because I've got some sort of cyst on it or something. I'm a bit worried. But I've not been to the doctor.
typical man. I'm really worried about something.
Well,
it's like the time I found a lump on my testicle and left it there for 6.5 months before I went to the doctor about it.
And what was it? Just like a cold pop or something like that. Fallen down there.
Fatty corpuscle, mate.
I went to, not Boots, you know, somewhere like a chemist.
Yeah.
Well, it was like a chemist. And because I was going to try and phone the doctor, and then I was like, is there any point? Because they'll keep you waiting for like a couple of weeks. Then you're hearing about the NHS struggling and stuff for all this unnecessary thing. So it says, go to the chemist if you've got a problem, and that's your first port of call. So I went to the chemist, and he like had a look, and he said, what happened? And I went, well, I just had like, said, my eye was sore weeks ago on the lid, on like, and then it's just looked like it had gone away, and then it's come back here. And he went, oh, you must have just had an infected eyelash.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, if you'd have just put some hot water on a towel and pressed it, done a compress, said it would have opened it up and it would have drained. And I was like, oh God, yeah. And my wife Googled it and said to do that. And I was
just you ignored
six
it.
6 or 8 weeks
oh,
ago.
God, woman. What do you know?
No.
Looked it up on the internet.
Do you know what?
Get back in the kitchen, make me a sandwich.
No, do you know why I didn't do it? Was because you had to do it every hour. So I did it like once, and then I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah, and you're so unbearably busy. You're like, this is a new comedian. And join us next month, listener, for more boring old man stories.
So, yeah, so it's spread. So
find out what Alex's ailment is next
is
month.
Is my eye going to be? Well, anyway, it's gone really bad, and it won't go away, and I'm worried because it's kind of affecting my vision a bit. So I was like, right, I've got to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So I might know next. But you know what? This is the thing now, being a comic. Every kind of potential bad thing that happens, part of your brain's going, this is showing this.
Yeah. That is true.
My dream would be to have to wear an eye patch for a couple of months.
Oh, and to think, you know, you thought we'd have nothing to talk about on this podcast.
We have got loads to talk about.
We have. What have you been up to this
week? Well, I went to Morrison's on Monday.
Yeah.
And then when
nice.
just stuff for teas. And then Tuesday, I can't remember what I did Tuesday. That was my day off, so I just did jobs.
Oh, jobs. Just, you know, like general
bits of
jobs.
Admin, bits of writing for people that I said I'd write for.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday dinner time, I got a phone call from my agent saying, oh, Eric Cantona's at the Lyre. And
Eric, who I don't think
Eric Cantona, he was a footballer.
He sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah. And do you want to go and do support for him? Do you want to go and do the warm-up?
Well, just cheering him on from the side.
Well, that's... I mean, I just thought it might be like a TV warm-up. We might do 5 or 10. But they wanted a comedian to go on at the beginning to do 25 minutes at the top to 1,700 people who'd paid to see Cantona. So you walk on to the most... Well, actually, this is how it goes. So I'm peppering myself because he's one of my all-time heroes.
I know, mate. Like, look, when you told me that, I was just like...
I haven't slept. What's the day now? Saturday.
Yeah.
So I've done.
That's not good for your eye, mate.
No, it's really bad. I did Wednesday with Cantona. I did Thursday with Cantona, and then Thursday Manchester Comedy Store. I did Friday with Cantona in London. Saturday night, I've got 2 shows coming to Store, and then Sunday Cantona.
Either side of the final,
Which I'm hoping to watch with Eric. So. Oh, man, I'm on cloud nine. Honestly, it's the best week I've ever had in my life. I'm not joking. The last time I felt this good was Barcelona 99, where I was just like, wow, this is like miracle time. It's like a miracle week. Yeah. The happiest I've ever been, honestly. I can't tell you. But I'm not sleeping because this is what it must be like if you've got a really good career or something. Because the level of adrenaline and just joy.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to bed at 12:30, absolutely exhausted like a kid, and just fall within about 1 second. I just go, I'm asleep.
Yeah.
And then I wake up at 4:30, like just going, it was a dream. Just being really happy, going, like dreaming about Cantona.
Really?
Really? I'm like talking to him or just like so introducing him or anything.
So you've met him now?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, every night. I gig with him every night, mate.
No, but like the way you just went, loads, best mates. No, but like what was the first meeting?
So the first meeting.
How did, like, when you had the first gig, did you meet him there? Like,
yeah.
So the first meeting...
This, I'm going to make this into a show, I think. It feels like an hour show at least. It might be spoken word. I might do comedy. I might just write it.
Yeah.
Might just write it.
Feels more like a movie. Maybe you could give it a title like Meeting Eric.
Looking for something. Steve Evetts, the lad from Looking for Eric. He was in on Thursday, so we've been like texting him and that.
All right.
Tweeting him, sorry. And
so
messing,
come on,
you know,
tell me about the first meeting.
So, Cantona...
Your eyes met across a crowded room.
Oh, God. He's amazing. So, he's like whoever anybody's ultimate hero is, he's that for me, really.
Of course he is. He's fucking Eric Cantona.
A legend with, like, United. So, if you're a bit older, it would be George Best. Of somebody my age, it was Robson, was the first one like this.
No, but even like younger, like Cantona's a legend.
But then an utter, yeah, and then Cantona comes along and it blows everything out of the water because it's just like this mystique.
Yeah.
So I get to the Lyre, the show's at 8 and they say, can you get there to sound check at 7?
Uh-huh.
So I get there, I don't know where the stage door is, and the man from the Lyre says, oh, come through here, are the promoters in this room here, they're doing the meet and greets. So people pay extra for a premium ticket, and you sort of queue up, you have your photo taken with Eric, have a little chat and,
get
something signed. Whatever, you know, like a shirt or a picture or whatever.
Show me your tits. Where is he signed?
Some loads of people get it on their arms.
To get it tattooed.
And so I've not asked for an autograph or anything because it felt like we've got a professional relationship. Yeah. So I'm there like with the promoter, and Cantona was like about 4 yards away, just having his picture taken with all these people, and I'm like kind of like glancing over and stuff.
Yeah.
And so
be
he
cool,
must be like,
be cool.
And I really, honestly, I just wanted to just be like, hiya! I'm just like, yeah, so I'm kind of like the comedian. Mm-hmm. I just do the warm-up and stuff. No big deal, 1,700 people. Yeah, yeah. It's fine. 50 quid a ticket. That's the cheapest ticket. Yeah, I'm worth that. And so I go back. I do my sound check. I'm absolutely the most. I'm not even a bag of nerves. I'm beyond. I feel like a ghost.
Mm.
You could have just... One bad word or like a push with a fingertip would have knocked me over because it was like I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was my senses were like, I can't describe what it's like. If you've ever been in an accident, you know that shock, uh-huh. or a near accident in your car, and you go, whoa. And then you suddenly, like, you see the windscreen looks different and your steering wheel looks different and you're like, what's going on? I'm like, I've got superpowers. So I was like that. So I could hear everything in the auditorium, could see amazingly well.
I've heard you describe both the birth of your children and meeting your wife, and neither of them have you sounded this excited.
No. Well, having to be at the birth of your children is awful. it's the most terrible experience there is, because it stinks of blood.
Look, it's awful. Don't let me derail you.
So he does the... Cantona's still doing the signings until 5 minutes before.
Of course.
And my call time side of stage is 5-2. So I'm stood in the wings, and then so I'm aware of him and like a couple of people with him from the theatre, walking him through behind me as I'm stood there. So I was like, whoa, there he goes. But by now I'm just totally focused on goal. So anyway, they put some videos on of him scoring loads of goals. The first night, there's like loads of people pretty drunk. There's loads of singing.
Yeah.
Who are Cantona, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously a football crowd. A drunk football crowd is a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like a gig.
No.
There is no, you know, like you go on about, I did Jonglers Portsmouth at Christmas. Well, I've done that. I've done army gigs. This is a different level. Gigged in Afghanistan and stuff. And that's supposedly scary, but nothing like this. Because on the one end of the scale, you've got all these lads that you go, well, if I can go in fully armed with any gig, any joke I do at the Comedy Store, I know I can buy myself 10 minutes with just laugh, 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 laugh. But there's kids in the room as well. And where I got the gig, because the other comedian that did it in the first night in Bournemouth had been controversial and said a few risque things. And only five or six people with kids.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, he's off the gig. And so I'm like, I want to stay on it. But at the same time, can I do it? So I introduced myself and just say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Alex Boardman. And all you hear is just like this cheer before I start. And then like, who? And then...
Who are you?
Chant goes up and then loads of boos. So I've done warm-up for a couple of, like, big shows like this. So if you deal with that frustration first and you get a joke out, then at least you've got a joke out and you made it. And they were quite good-natured when I can't remember what I said. I said something like, I feel that level of frustration. You feel that level? Can you feel the frustration in this room? Just understand that level of frustration you're now feeling. That's what it feels like at the end of every season if you support Liverpool. So United's big rival, historically. Everybody in that room with Cantona's age, Liverpool, when Cantona came, was the main rival.
It establishes you.
So and I didn't want to go on like in a United shirt or anything because Irish and they've paid a lot of money for tickets. I would have done, but I thought it was a bit like tacky and that.
You would have gone on with Cantona's balls on your face.
Oh God, it's amazing. So
see, I've heard I forget which comedian it was, but they said whenever they do like an open for somebody, and they're obviously not, you know, they're expecting the big star.
Yeah,
they go out and after their first joke, they just go, by the way, I'd just like to say thank you to such and such for asking me to do this because it's a real so it automatically sets in the audience's head. Oh right, okay, they know them.
Well, I did the Paul Hollywood tour, who's the celebrity baker, right, 3 years ago. I helped him to write it, and then he asked me, did I want to do the first couple of warm-ups just to get the crowd on side because I knew what the show was going to be, and I did that. That was my first line every night. Paul's asked me to be here, and then I learned that audience, whenever I did a joke that's a joke in, say, the Comedy Store or something, that audience did not see what I was doing as a joke. No. They didn't hate it. They just did not recognise it as a joke. It had to be a doctor, a pair of curtains or knock, knock. And they'd see that as a gag.
They were like, that story had a rather unusual ending.
They were just blank. Mm. And they didn't hate it. But they were just like, this is... So what I learnt there was to say, so I was with Paul today and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then every joke, the same material, if I related it back to him, and instead of me saying something, he said it, they'd laugh and they'd clap and they'd roar. So that was great. Anyway, so Cantona has a different level of that. Yeah. Also, he'd not asked me to do it. The promoter hadn't.
Obviously.
The theatre, the Lowry, asked me to do it, actually. And then later on, when I did a good job on the first one, they went, will you come to London and do the rest of the run? So I come off and I'm absolutely flying.
Yeah, of course.
And what I knew had happened, because by then, beforehand, we're talking about the build-up of pressure. So I agreed to do it at, say, 12 noon, thinking it's to a load of lads. By 2 o'clock, I get an email saying there's going to be kids in. So I just had to scrap every bit of set that I'd got and written and thought about and just come up with a totally clean set. And then I'm reading the reviews from the first show, Bournemouth show, and it was the Daily Mail had got it and the Times had got it, and they were making this big story, and it was an ESPN had got it. So I'm reading this thing at 4 o'clock going, this is going to be a poison gig. The knives will be out, because if the first couple of bits of press have picked up only on a Twitter story of 6 complaints on the Bournemouth local evening news web. So it's trying to turn it into a story. It was kind of just overblown, exaggerated news. And I've never had any kind of, I don't know how to deal with that. I've been under the radar forever. So I go, God, if I go and the same thing happens, might be that thing where they put your paper, picture in the paper, and they list some of your jokes, and then you get all these comments, and you go, could be a career ender. Honestly, that's what I was thinking going in. So I came off, it had gone really, really well, and so they walked me straight, they said, oh, Eric wants to meet you. So I was like, ah, okay. So I go like skipping in like that, and so he was sat there, and he went, my friend, that was wonderful. And I was like, oh, thank you. He went, yes, you've helped me out so much. Last night was very bad. That was very good. They love you. They clap. They laugh. You have a gift. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Just finish on my face.
Literally, kill me now.
Finish on my face.
Never been happier. So then a part of my brain goes like an idiot. When I'm like, I've got GCSE French. So like about 10 years ago, I met Patrice Everett at this thing. And so I went to that, Patrice, bonjour, ça va? And then he just goes, and I went, oh, fuck, I can't speak French. Like an idiot. So I go to Cantonar. I start in my brain to speak French to him that I can't speak. And couldn't really speak
barely 25, speak English.
Because I'm so, like, in awe and confused and just like, what's going on? That he just, anyway, I rescued myself from doing it. I can't remember what I said. It was something a bit cringy. But I pulled it back. And then we just had a chat for a couple of minutes. And then there was a couple of other people in there, like security guards, that were kind of a bit hassily, and then they were saying, will you bring Eric on in the second half? I was like, you want me to introduce Cantona?
Yeah,
I might do that. Right. That might be all right. Yeah.
Makes a change from these fucking new Canadians. Once a month. So, please welcome this guy from somewhere, Eric Cantona. By the way, guys, we really appreciate you listening, and don't forget to rate and review and subscribe on iTunes.
So I introduced, so we're having the discussion, and people are going, yeah, when you introduce him, say this and say this and say that. And I said, what do you want me to say to Eric? Because he was just sat there, and he was like, kind of looking away, a bit like, not fed up.
People making decisions without asking.
Well,
him.
Exactly. So I said, what do you want me to say? And he said, what do you think? You're the expert. Like,
and you got called expert.
I said, well, to be honest, I said, if it was up to me, I'd just go, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Cantona. They'll go mental. They're going to sing anyway, because they've already been singing throughout the interval before the show.
Yeah.
Bits of singing broke out in the middle of my set.
Of course it did.
And so he goes,
I've seen your set. So
there's loads of gaps for singing.
Yeah, loads of bits where people are meant to be laughing.
So he goes, yes, we do that. And I'm like, yes. So I was like, do you need to prepare then? And he's like, yeah. I said, right, I'll see you out there in 5 minutes. So then I met at the side of the stage, and he's like ultra professional. So he's kind of like, not warming up, it's not right, but he was like, you know, like players in a tunnel, footballers, and you see the really serious ones, focus. And they just do that breathing and they focus. He was gone, mate. He wasn't there. He was just like, so walked on. Where's he at, mate? Cantona. The place goes absolutely bananas. Standing ovation as he walks on. P- everyone's singing and stuff, and he just kind of stands there and like with his arms open, and he just stands there for about 5 minutes, and they're all singing. And then so the show went really well. So what was good after that was that the job was done, and like they trusted me, and it was like I've done well. So since then I've done three. Still got two to do tomorrow. But
see if I can get this podcast out and ruin it for you.
Yeah, well, I've just realised I cocked up because... No,
let's not go into that. Okay. You haven't cocked up.
I might have.
No, look, retweeting praise is not cocking
yeah,
up.
Yeah, but there was also other things on there that I shouldn't have retweeted, but I was leathered, so I didn't really read anything I retweeted. So I just retweeted stuff. Yeah,
you never go on Twitter. I never did. Active self-promoter I've ever met.
I just retweet like funny like dogs going down slides. I like them.
And my entire Twitter feed now is just me trying to remind Piers Morgan of the time he hacked a dead girl's phone whenever he tries to take the moral high ground.
Which he does on everything.
Yeah. He did one today. I can't believe we've got Eric Cantona to Piers Morgan. He did one I noticed just recently where he's talking about the fact that there's a transgender kid who's been winning all these under 17 girls wrestling matches,
right.
and he's like, oh, will it cause massive offense and will everyone get hysterical if I say that I think this is wrong? And I went, where on the scale of wrong does it lie from makes me feel uncomfortable to hacking a dead girl's phone?
Yeah, exactly. I don't, it's the whole everything at the minute, it's like we're living in a New Statesman episode.
I know.
Alan Bastardi's beyond parody, because I had about 2-3 years ago, and I'm sure this will appear anyway, everybody must have had this. So I had this idea to write a sort of UKIP counsellor as like a radio play or even a sitcom, and not quite decided. And it was going to be actually somebody who was kind of like a bit of a right-wing Tory and shifted towards UKIP and just got like more and more popular, but also more and more outrageous. And I started writing it, and I was like, there's no point. Everything that's happening now is mile. It's just that it times 10.
Well, the other day, Michael J. Dolan, incredibly funny comedian. I firmly recommend you look for his stuff. You can actually buy some of it on Bandcamp as well.
It's really good.
Really good.
And he's written a short story selection as well, and they're brilliant.
He shared on Facebook an article about how much it was costing the Secret Service to stop Donald Trump dying in his bathroom.
Wow.
And I was halfway through the article before I realised it was a parody.
Right, okay.
Because it was like, that's the thing, I'm like, I can imagine.
Yeah.
And then halfway through, I'm reading, and they've got a reinforced wire mesh across the bathtub just in case he falls.
This is a joke. Yeah, it's bizarre. So why can't you come to the matinee tomorrow? Oh, no, you can. You could have come to the matinee.
There might be ticket problems.
Well, there have been ticket problems.
I'm not going to drive. I would be bringing a date.
Yes. Who?
No. This is personal stuff.
Is it a comedy new date?
Yes.
So is it first date?
No.
Oh, right. Okay.
Third. Yeah, third.
How old are you?
36.
God. See, that would terrify me.
Why?
Dating again.
Well, without mentioning names, but I recently went on a date with a girl, her first date in 9 years. Because she's just split up from her husband because she found out he was cheating on her.
Blimey.
Yeah.
You see, this, it's funny because...
It's weird. Like, I was her first date in 9 years. We just went for coffee and stuff. It was all very relaxed. But this is a little bit too personal for this podcast.
No, okay, fair enough. Well,
happy to talk about my shitty career.
Yeah, me too. Mine's awesome. Mine's awesome at the minute.
Finally. This is the most happy we've ever said. Don't worry, listeners. Don't worry, listeners. He will be miserable again.
Yeah, I'll be
again.
Back next month.
He'll be fucking miserable again next month, I guarantee it. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I think shit. I don't know what I'm fucking doing. Why do I do this? I just write stuff for other people. Never write anything for myself.
Well, I was thinking actually of writing, because I met someone my age. I'm 44. He was about 43, 44, something like that, this fella. And we might have said this before. He was talking about Tinder.
Uh-huh.
Have I said this before on this podcast? Because I say it to everybody I meet, because my mind's been blown.
All right, say it.
Right, so... If you're my age,
yeah,
pretty much you will have kids,
yes,
or at least one or two relationships behind you.
Uh-huh.
And all I knew about Tinder, I've not been on it, I've not joined it. All I knew was when it was called Grindr, that was the gay one, because gay comedians 5 years ago used to mention it, and they'd come off after getting loads of laughs, and I'd have to say, what's Grindr? I don't understand. And then straight ones used to talk about Tinder in the same way. Yeah. They were all about 23. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of these things that people would laugh at and I wouldn't get.
Yeah.
But I get roughly the concept. Uh-huh. So so this dude, I'm just at this party, it was a mate's 50th actually, birthday party. And this fella's like, he's like jumping about and going, what's happening? He goes, oh, this girl's coming to meet me now. And it's like, she's gorgeous. She's like 40 something, but like a model. And I was like, ah, whoa, what? How did you meet her? Is it like an internet dating thing? Because I thought that was still what it was, which I suppose it is. And he goes, it's Tinder. And I was like, mate, tell me what Tinder is, because I just still don't know. And he was only 3 months ago. And he goes, well, it's like you swipe. I can't remember which way you swipe and stuff. He said, but basically you put details in and then you give them a like or a super like or something like that. And then you send like a friendly text.
And join us next month on Old Man Explains Technology
amazed.
Badly.
I was amazed. So, but that is a miracle for, because I know like for young people, it's like not a big deal. But if you are this age and you've got like a broken relationship behind you, that's like, that cuts through all the horror of having to go places like nightclubs or where you don't know anybody anywhere, or just having a really shallow pool of people at work, where the only thing you've got in common is work. And like, do you then go, well, it's kind of the best of it and I'm 40 now. And this is just like instant. But then the other side of it, he said, what's kind of quite awkward is his profile's on there. And then some of like people, when he's taking the kids to school, there's like every third or fourth person's on Tinder. So some of them have rejected him and not quite realised that some of them he's been on dates with. But it's just, I find it really interesting.
Fuck the broken marriage club.
yeah. Find it real. It's just, do you know what it means? It's hope for me if anything goes wrong. It's not actually.
Jesus, he was on cloud nine a minute ago. And now he's straight back to, when it goes wrong, when she leaves me.
Do you know what? My wife does most of my tech things. So I'd have to ask her to get me on
Tinder. Oh, hon, how do I download Tinder onto this?
What's the password for the email?
What's the password for Tinder?
I might do that now. That's a good routine, maybe.
What the comedy scene needs is another routine about Tinder.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you're right. Fair enough. And plus, I don't quite know enough about it. Mm. So anyway, my life's brilliant at the minute.
Great.
I'm so happy.
Really pleased.
I am so, like, happy. Pleased. And I hope your date goes well on Sunday. But it will.
The first two dates went really well.
That's something else. I think about this a lot.
And comedy's going okay, thank you for asking.
Oh, comedy, who cares? But I wonder,
I think the point of like the 300, 400 listeners we've got is they listen to this because of comedy.
Right, okay.
They don't want to know about...
Okay, well, I did the London Palladium last night.
Yeah.
Yes. It was amazing. He did it as a guest.
You
hope it would be. It was so great.
Of course it was.
One massive spotlight following me around on the stage. The sound was ridiculous. The acoustics, it's the best room.
It's a fucking palladium.
It's just unbelievable. And then you see the list of who's been there.
All right.
Do you know what? They don't even have, this is how good it is, every other theatre I've ever been in, mm-hmm. which is pretty much most of them now, they'll have pictures of like really famous people going back from, say, even like Warren Hardy, some of them. Yeah. And, you know, always
It's like walking downstairs at the London Comedy Store.
Yeah. And that history's only from 79. So I'm talking about history of Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah.
And then there's Hancock and there's, you know, everyone. Single person. Doddy and Les Dawson and then, you know, all the new people as well.
The best.
Everyone. And this has got so much history. The walls are just painted white. There's not one picture. I was amazed.
Jesus.
They let me pick my dressing room as well. There's only two dressing rooms being used. It was amazing. It was my dressing room opened. I opened a door and I walked down two steps and I was at the back of the stage. Like, yes. I got like three settees in it and a big shower and a lovely. It was better than my house. It was amazing.
I've been to your house, that's true.
Yeah. It was so amazing. It was great. Dude on stage door. Hello, sir. Hello to you, my good man.
Yes. I hope the rest of the shows go really well.
Let me get someone to walk you down to your dressing room. Thank you. Would you like some water while you wait? Yes, thank you, I would. And then, do you know what? Next week, I'll be somewhere like normal. There'll be no dressing room. I'll just like leave my coat near to the stage as possible,
from
so I can see nobody.
To the ridiculous.
Yeah, it will be. The mic will be broken. There'll be no light. I'll just be shouting in the corner of a pub. And then somebody will say, oh
that should be the title of your Edinburgh show.
Shouting in the corner of a pub. You know, I used to, years ago, like if a gig was like kind of going bad way, I used to do this joke like that this gig feels like I'm just some fella that sometimes like on a Sunday he's been drinking all day and just starts singing. You know, if you're in an old man's pub, just starts singing in the corner of a pub and everyone's like, oh God, it's him again.
Him with the sty on his eye.
Literally, the last couple of years I've been doing those gigs and people have like been echoing with like, what are you doing? Just like, mate, I was booked for a comedy show. And I'm like, nah. So anyway, Palladium. Yeah. So that's it. I'm dead happy. I hope your date goes well. I'm honestly the happiest I've maybe ever been.
This is literally the happiest I've seen.
I am tired though. I've been sleeping 4 hours a night. I can't sleep. It's amazing.
It's great.
It is. It's amazing. So I'm sorry that was boring again.
No, I don't think any of that was boring. I don't think any of our listeners, who by the way, I'm going to start calling nukes. Because it's the nuke. Like Mark Maron's got his what the fuckers.
Right.
Like, you know, and Paul F. Tompkins has got his followers who he calls something, and, you know, Richard Herring, I'm sure, calls his fans something incredibly rude and degrading. But they're the new comedians. So they're the nukes.
Okay. What does. Because Manx, Manchester, and Newcastle, do they say. They don't say that. They say I'm Tune.
No.
Tune. So, yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, they're Geordies, mate.
Don't expect me to say it. I'm not saying it.
Yeah, you fucking are. Call them nukes.
Nukes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my God. You. And by the way, I've just done another boys comic and it was unbelievable again. It just gets better and better. Can't believe it.
Oh, yeah, the
can't
boys, it's
it.
Great.
I can't
it's
believe
great.
It. And The Walking Dead, I just can't be bothered with a TV show now because the comics just ruined it.
Yeah.
Pointless. TV show's pointless compared to that.
Yeah, I know. Comics are great.
They are, aren't they? Yeah. Really good. Maybe that's what, maybe the magic, maybe that's what's turned my career around.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. So sorry, I thought this was a good idea, listeners. I just wanted to get a podcast out to you.
No, never Look mind.
Look at him, God.
Never mind.
He's like a schoolgirl in love.
I am.
For the first time.
With a 50-year-old Frenchman.
Oh, Jesus. He's a girl on her first trip abroad. He's got a basket full of posies and he's rolling around in a field.
Literally.
Oh, it was like a love scene directed by George Lucas.
I'm going to start wearing like a Breton shirt and just have like onions around my neck. I might adopt a French accent.
Yeah, that wouldn't fucking surprise me.
Thank you.
All right, how are we going to end this? Because we've done half an hour.
We should say not au revoir. We should say au revoir. I can't even think.
You should say au revoir.
No.
Fucking wanker.
Oh, God.
I hope this has amused some of our listeners. Oh, and we've got some bonus episodes coming out. We've got a double bill, a Canadian double bill of Stuart Francis
Phil
Nickel, who you interviewed. And then we've got Justin Morehouse coming out
soon. The Phil Nickel one was pretty leathered, I think.
Oh, don't say that.
Am I leathered? I'm not.
Oh, you were not.
I was. He wasn't. Oh. He'd just come off. I've been comparing, so.
It doesn't matter because he's telling great stories about meeting like Sam Kinison.
Yeah, yeah. And then Stuart Francis is talking about, is he talking about Woody Allen or meeting? It's amazing. I can't remember.
One of Woody Allen's long-term collaborators. But
yeah.
Well, you'll have to listen to the episodes. We'll get them out in a week. So.
Much better than this. Much better.
Yeah, but nothing will ever be as good as meeting Eric.
Oh, I know. Oh, God. I wish. I just can't ask him to record anything.
I think when you talk about it underneath you, I've got to pipe in like, oui, je t'aime.
You won't. You won't. You can't even be bothered editing this, so you won't.
No, that's true. That's true.
Right, let's go, because I've got to do another show.
Yeah, you've got another show to do, and
you've probably got some love texts to send.
I'm not gigging on a Saturday night. Careers on right, thank you for listening, guys. Don't forget to rate and subscribe. Tell your friends. Share
Bye, us. Nukes.
Bye, Nukes.
Thank you for downloading the New Comedians podcast. I've been Alex Boardman. You can follow me on Twitter at @alxboardman. Big thanks to The Comedy Store for hosting us on the third Sunday of every month. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. The producer was Richard Massara. Bye. Bye.